Good morning and welcome. I hope you had a good night, got some rest, and are revived, that the man spirit inside of you is revived, and that you are ready to join us as we, those of us that share, as we dig into God's Word again. I'm just going to be reiterating some things from yesterday, and So yesterday, just a little recap on yesterday, we talked about God's Spirit. God's Spirit was on the face of the deep, it was without form, and it was void, and he made man, and we looked at that man has a spirit, us as human beings have spirit, and this God whom we serve is, John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So just a little bit of feedback from yesterday. Is that legible for you at the back? Can you read that? I know, I apologize, not all the font is the same size. It is for a reason, although some of it is when I drag it in from a different software, then it is what it is. And I didn't take the time to just make it nice. But so our theme verses here, John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Kevin, for that song. Another theme scripture here, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are living this life believing that there's eternity, believing that God created us eternal beings, and that today matters. Also just going to throw in, and some of these things that I share, I don't always know where I got them from. Some of them are quotes from other people. I don't always know. Like the plain things are the main things, and the main things are the plain things. That's not original with me. That's from other people. But it's things that I've captured from other seminars that I've attended. And I believe that's what the body of Christ is for. We're here to build each other up. And that's just it. We are a body. And so I don't make up the body. You don't make up the body. Your church doesn't make up the body. My church doesn't make up the body, but the believers throughout the world make up the body of Christ. And we're here to strengthen each other, to build up the name of Jesus. And allow the God of peace to sanctify you wholly, body, soul, and spirit. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back. How many of you believe he's coming back? Raise your hand if you believe he's coming back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we come to you this morning, and we believe that you are, and that you are able, that you want us to believe in you. God, this morning, I just pray that we could still our hearts before you, and that we could rest because you are a God of peace, and that you have our best interest in mind. You see the beginning from the end, and you know where we are in the middle, where we're stuck or where we've been successful. So God, I pray that today as we talk more about your spirit, enemy spirits, and whatever else you bring to our heart and mind today to preach and share from your word, The things that you want to impress, God, we want to align ourselves with you. The things that you want to highlight, we give you permission to highlight them, to make the main things the plain things and the plain things the main things in our life, in each individual heart, soul, Father, that's here today. Because we know that without you, we have nothing. And without you, we can do nothing. But you've called us as believers to strengthen each other and to build each other up, that as each of us brings to the table the gifting and calling and blessing that you've enabled us with, we make up the body. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus. We look for you for when you come back. In Jesus' name, amen. Another theme verse is Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we need to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So in other words, timely message. Last night, Willis captured in a nutshell. And I just want to tell you that this verse actually wasn't in my, as I was initially preparing, it wasn't part of my theme at all. But as I would go to bed at night and as I would wake up in the morning, this verse would be on my heart and on my mind. And so I'm trusting God that he wanted me to share this verse. And I'm trusting God that this is a theme verse, because it captures the gospel and our position in it. For us needing to have faith, for us needing to believe that he is, to believe that he is a rewarder. And our part, our work to do, to diligently seek him. Going to be adding another theme verse here in a minute, but before we get there, let's if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John 4:1, and we're going to look at another angle of spirit beings. I think none of you is ignorant of the fact that we have an enemy of our soul called Satan, and there is also enemy spirits. So we have God's spirit, we have man's spirit. God has angels, they're called ministering spirits. Those are the good angels. The enemy is the enemy, Satan is our enemy, and he has spirits, they are the enemy spirits. So that's kind of the spirit world that we live in. And that we get caught up in, and that we need to understand. Part of what I want to share today is to help you walk freely with God. The reality is that we are a spirit, and that we live in a body, and we possess a soul. And as we wrestle, and as we live in this world, the soulish things in life, I'd like to talk about the soul tomorrow, but the soulish things in life, they entrap us and they ensnare us, because we have not been delivered from this world. We have not been delivered from God saw it fit that he said, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. And that's God's idea, is that we would glorify God by us overcoming, by us believing, by us seeking God, by us calling out to God, and believing that he is able to deliver us. That God is glorified, and by doing so, he's dragging his enemies in the dust. But if you don't believe God, and if you don't understand spiritual warfare, then we're not able to overcome the enemy. You see, the only thing that overcomes the enemy is the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God in us. If you, in your fleshly being think you have the power to overcome the enemy, I'm here to tell you that you don't. And if you get ensnared by Satan or any of his spirits, you will need the power of God to get free. You will need the Spirit of God to get free. And that's leading us to the theme verse here coming up. Let's read here in 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. I don't understand these verses necessarily. That's what it says. I'm going to believe it. It says that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. The spirit of Antichrist. It might sound like Christ. So as I was chatting with some brothers last night, we were just talking about the reality that the enemy is smarter, for the most part, he's smarter than just like letting you know that he's entrapping you. For the most part, the enemy deceives us, and he gets us, the enemy needs us to agree with him so that he can entrap us. An agreement with the enemy is sin. I want you to consider Jesus and his temptations. Jesus in his temptations, he did not, did Satan not quote scripture to Jesus? Satan quoted scripture to Jesus, but Jesus always countered it with other scripture. So I want you to be aware that half-truths are not truths. Half-truths are not truths. They might just be the enemy ensnaring you, getting you to believe that it's true. Didn't he do that with Eve? Didn't he get Eve to believe and think that God is somehow keeping something good from them? When she looked on the fruit and when she saw that it was good, so it played on the soul part of her being. And she looked on the fruit and she saw it, and she took of the fruit, and Adam did too. Adam was there with her and he took. And that's when Satan gained access to the world. And after that, ever since that, the world is a fallen world. And yet Jesus Christ came to take back that which was stolen. And the way through which he's coming to take that back is through each one of us, through the Spirit of God living inside of us and us overcoming the enemy. Verse 4, our next theme verse. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. What? Them who? What were we talking about in verse 1 to 3? We're talking about enemy spirits. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. For those of you that are born again, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Part of the reason I reiterate things is because this is Bible school, and part of school is memorization. Sometimes when you don't know, if you're bored reading scripture or it's just dry or whatever, I want you to know that just flip out and turn to memorization. Just memorize. If in your spirit and your being you're not computing what's being read, memorize scriptures that have been meaningful to you in the past. Just memorize them. Just chew on them. Just reiterate them in your mind. Because scripture is not dead, it is alive. I remember one seminar I was at, and this kind of struck a chord with me. The speaker was saying that when you read a newspaper, it's dead. But when you read the scriptures, they're alive. When you hide, there's commands in scripture, when you hide that word of God in your heart, the Holy Spirit will bring it to mind when you need it. It's very important for you to hide scripture in your heart, for you to read scripture every day, for you to meditate on scripture every day. The world's bringing a counterfeit meditation. Yoga is from the enemy. Yoga is using enemy things to relax and to try to bring peace to your heart. So the way the enemy works is he will use. So if I have something true here in the background, whichever way you want to do it, but the way the enemy works for the most part is he'll pass something false in front of something that's true. And now as you look at the screen, you're not sure what you're seeing anymore, because you look at this and you say, this is true, but this is not sure what that is. Okay? The enemy works with passing truth with untruth and mixing it. And now you don't have clarity. When you don't have clarity, most likely there's an enemy involved. If things are confusing to you, most likely there's enemy theology, or just plain outright an enemy involved. With God, things are black and white and clear. And so when you're pursuing God and seeking God, seek the things that you know are true. And when you come to this thing that has truth with untruth, and you're not sure which one's true and which one's false, just park it there and seek the Lord on it. This is where seeking the Lord on it is. And sometimes, because the enemy is also a spirit, we can, with our intellect, always comprehend everything that he's doing. Jesus said that he's a what? Just shout it out. The enemy is a thief. He came to steal, kill, destroy. Let's say that again, all together. Steal, kill, destroy. Does that sound like a friend? Let's say that again. The enemy came to steal, kill, destroy. If we get entrapped with the enemy, it's going to do what to us? Steal, kill, destroy. That's what Jesus said. Do you think Jesus knew what he was talking about? Do you think Jesus has more understanding than I do about the spirit world? Yeah. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Spirit of God inside of you will speak truth, but it's your job to rightly divide truth. Let's move on. Matthew 10, verse 1. I'm just highlighting some instructions Jesus gave to his disciples. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He gave them what to his disciples? Shout it out. Power. To cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. You know what? I just want to bless those, your parents. Some of your parents were here last night, and some of your parents are not here today, but you know what some of your parents are doing? Some of your parents are praying. Is that an agreement with God, or is that an agreement with the enemy? When your parents are praying. Agreement with God. So in the spirit world, what kind of implications is it going to have when your parents pray? Good results. What kind of implications is it going to have when you as a believer pray? Have you ever heard of any commands in the Bible about you as a believer praying? Raise your hand if you have. Right. There's commands in the Bible that tell us to pray. Now, you may not have thought about this, but I want you to think about it, that you are created body, soul, and spirit. And when you obey Scripture, you will most, at the very forefront, be, what do you think? Combating your body, your soul, or your spirit? When you do what God says, God is a spirit. And so if he gives instructions in his word, do you think that's to deal with our body? Yeah, some of it is. Do you think that's primarily to deal with our soul? Yeah, some of it is. But primarily, when we obey Scripture, we're going to be agreeing with God, and that will combat the enemy. It'll have spiritual implications, both positive and negative, depending what you're doing. Matthew 10:16, Behold, I sent you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents. So wait a minute. Is that what the farmers do? They sent the sheep in amongst the wolves? No. How is it possible then that we're called sheep and we're sent in amongst the wolves? It's possible because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Be therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves, but be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Isn't that amazing? When some of the hardest things in life that spring upon you, I just want you to know that the God of peace is on your side. He's fighting for you. And when things come upon you that you weren't aware of, that the Spirit of God is going to rise up. He's going to be there for you. He's not going to leave you comfortless. He is your best friend. Your parents might pass away. Your siblings might pass away. Your best friend might pass away. But God, as a brother, Jesus is a brother, that's always by your side. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm amazed at God. I've witnessed accidents. I've witnessed a car accident one time where man and a woman, grandma and grandma, it was a 4-lane highway, went down to a 2-lane highway, and somehow they got confused and turned around they were situated right beside where the 4-lane highway went down to a 2-lane highway, and they got confused with where they were. They came off the off-ramp and on the 4-lane highway, and then they turned around on the 4-lane highway and were coming the same way on the 4-lane highway. What if they would have went another half a mile further and turned around, then they could have went on the other side of the road. It would have went down to 2 lanes, and then they would have got on the 4-lane highway, and the first exit they would have got off, and the first right would have been their lane to their farm. Their farm was right beside the freeway. And I'm driving my truck along the highway, and I see this car coming toward me like it was a 2-lane highway. But it's not a 2-lane highway, it's a 4-lane highway. This grandma and grandma, and I recognize who it was. And I'm going around a corner. And behind me, there's a car with 3 teenagers in it. What are teenagers prone to do? Go faster. anyway, they weren't going too fast this time, but they were passing me, right? So I'm the truck, I'm the slow guy here, and I'm going around the corner, and I look in my mirror, and sure enough, there's a vehicle coming. But they can't see each other because I'm blocking their view. We're going around the corner. So I witness this accident in my mirror. They both didn't have too much speed, and they both veered. I'm pretty sure the grandpa and grandma weren't going very fast at all. But and the grandpa didn't die in the accident, the grandma did. The grandpa was the closest on impact, but the grandma had a disease where her bones were weak. And so the impact snapped her neck. And I parked my truck to the side of the road, and I went back there, and I watched her pass away. Now, maybe if I would have known what I do now, I might have held her head up so that she could breathe. Doesn't really matter, because if it was her time to go, I couldn't have kept her alive anyway. But I still remember her gasping for breath, and then it was done. The reason I share that with you is, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And God has made our bodies. You've heard of people going into shock. That's God's mercy and grace on you. But you as a believer have Jesus Christ inside of you. And he will also show up when you need him. He is faithful. I just share that to tell you that when things happen that you did not expect, you can relate, you can trust God to show up and be there. And you're going to do things that you're going to look back later and wonder how in the world you did that. Well, you know what? It was the grace of God. I just want to impress on you that God is real and that he is for you and he's not against you. But we have an enemy. And when we make agreements with the enemy, that ensnares us. And that actually keeps, because God doesn't violate choice. Remember, choice is the one thing that God will not, and I don't know that there's necessarily scripture. This is just what I believe. And you can test it. You can, I free you to try it or think about it or chew on it. But God will not violate your choice. If you choose not to obey God, God will honor you. If you choose to obey God, God will honor you. If you get ensnared by your deception, by the enemy, that's still reality. And you need to follow God's way to get unraveled. I'll talk more about that. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. I just threw this verse in for anyhow. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So it talks about this reality that we are in the flesh. Our body is going to die, but our spirit will live forever. Our spirit is the main thing. All right, help from an enemy is a curse and a snare. And you're thinking, help from an enemy? Is there such a thing as help from an enemy? Well, not really, but he might trick you into thinking that he's helping you, or the thing that you're thinking you think is helping you might be from the enemy, and you're deceived and you're not aware of it. The verse I really wanted starts in verse 12, but 11 was there, and I had to leave it there because it's truth. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. So in all of this complexity of body, soul, and spirit, and our heart, so where's our body, where's our soul, where's our spirit, where's our body? And I don't know that... that I know 100%, but as best as I can, you have your body. Your soul and your spirit are contained to your body. And then you have your soul, another level. And maybe there's a better picture, there'd be a better way of drawing this, I don't know. And then there's your heart. And then on the inside of your heart is your spirit. And you can refute this if you wish and draw a better picture. I'm okay with that. But this is what makes the most sense to me. Help from an enemy. Verse 12, my people ask counsel at their stocks. Okay, what's that talking about? And their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. Very simply, have you ever heard of water witching? Raise your hand if you've heard of water witching. Yeah, that's what it's talking about. Not necessarily water witching. There's other ways to doing it. I've heard strange stuff, people doing strange things. But whenever you use something physical, and you have some kind of, and I'm not totally versed on all these things, but in this case, what the scripture is saying is that their stock or their piece of wood is telling them, my people ask counsel at their stocks. So where are they going for their advice here? At their stocks. And their staff declareth unto them. So they're not going to God, like we heard last night. They're not seeking God. But their staff declareth them. Do you know that the enemy, there's witchcraft, I'm not super versed on all what every... So one of the complications with witchcraft is that they keep changing the names of the things. So the names of the things that you might be familiar with over time, within generations, changes. Do you think that's strategic by the enemy? I think so. The enemy doesn't want you to know... If you called it witchcraft, if the thing that your culture was doing... would be called witchcraft, and you are a believer, you would pick it up. You would know it. The enemy does not want you to know. Remember, he's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And if we get caught up with things of the enemy, so in this case, people are doing things, and they are, if you need a list, I can get you a list of things, witchcraft related. But I want you to think about the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God is going to be faithful if you are open to change and truth. So first of all, you need to be open to truth. If you're not open to truth, then God's going to just let you be. But if you seek God, remember, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But if you're not diligently seeking him, you may not find. But the promise is that if you diligently seek, you will find. So where I'm going with this is, if you think that you have questionable practices or something that in your spirit from time to time you wonder, is this thing really okay? Is this thing really okay? I just going to ask you to seek the Lord on it, because his Spirit is going to be faithful to convict you. But you might, one of the realities with God is, you have to be open to change, and you have to be open to agree with God. One of the biggest cultural, the word culture, one of the biggest cultural downfalls is that we as people get so comfortable with a way of doing things that we elevate it to the place of God. And I know there's people in our church that, and we have these conversations where we are aware of the reality that culture can, if we hold things in culture to such an elevated place as God, that becomes an entrapment. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a full-blown enemy. It's just that we're not agreeing with God. So culture, or a normal way of doing things, and I'm not suggesting that you quickly change, that you on instant or on a whim need to change, but I want you to consider, because God is faithful if you are honestly seeking from your heart. Remember, the eyes of the Lord go throughout the whole earth on behalf of those whose heart is toward him, strong for him. I'm not quoting that properly now, but we read that last night. The eyes of the Lord are going throughout the whole earth. And so, in a nutshell, what that verse is saying is that when the Spirit of God sees you seeking truth for what truth is, He will help you. But if you are proud and rebellious, those things may just block you from finding God. So remember, if something tangible, so the other thing we as people with this verse about the stocks and getting asking stocks, if our intellect needs to be in such a high place that we need to understand, now I invite you to, God is a God of order. You're going to use your reasoning. But my point in this is it's different if in your spirit or with the Spirit of God, you're okay with something, or like you're seeking God, and you know this is the path of truth or the path of error. Versus if you're just tangibly using like a stick to tell you where water is. If you're using a stick to tell you where water is, that's called water witching. And it's called out here in Hosea. You can do with it what you want. What I want you to consider, and I want you to bring it before the Lord and to seek Him. Because some of these things, remember, the enemy is, he uses traps and blindness and deceitfulness. He's a liar. So if he's lying to you, he might have a form of truth, but he's lying to you. He uses the truth to get you to agree with it. And when you agree with him, it's an agreement with the enemy, which is going to bring fruit of the enemy. But when you agree with God, you will have a blessing. 1 Samuel 15:23. We read about Saul yesterday. The story of Saul. So in his king, like when he was a young man, or whenever he was anointed to be king, he went and hid among the stuff. You can refute this, but I'm just going to share with you what I believe that actually means. What was actually spiritually happening with Saul at the time. When he went and hid among the stuff, was he thinking about God and stepping out in faith, or was he thinking about himself? Which one? Himself. He was thinking about himself. So he's this big guy that's a head taller than the rest of the people. Do you think he feels inferior? Uh-huh. We've all felt inferior. So he's this big, tall dude, and he's anointed to be king. And then when the time comes to actually, like, let the people know that he's the king, they can't find him. He's hiding in the stuff somewhere. He's in the baggage closet. Anyway, then he gets anointed. He's made king. And the Spirit of God moves inside of him. And the people, he calls all the people together. And they war against the neighboring country. And they win. But at the end of his life, we read, and I didn't take enough time to break down that story. But Saul did not obey God. He was supposed to, the Amalekites, something like that, he was supposed to kill them all and their king. And he kept the king because it was the practice of the day, culture of the day, to keep the king as your trophy. Okay, so be aware of the practices that you get ensnared with. It's the way we do it. So King Saul did not kill that king, and he kept the best sheep for a sacrifice. But he was told and he was commanded to kill everything, utterly, utterly destroy. That was the command. But he didn't. And because he didn't do that, and because he never repented of that, he lost his kingship. And then when the Spirit of God, we read that yesterday, the Spirit of God left him, and an evil spirit from the Lord came upon him, then at the end of his life, when he was fighting the enemy, he needed some kind of religion again, and Samuel wasn't there to help him anymore, so he went to a witch. And that, in the end of his life, that he wasn't faithful. And this verse here, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, comes from, actually, let's go there. 1 Samuel 15:23. So this is Samuel addressing Saul when he came, and Saul told Samuel, I've fulfilled the commandment of the Lord. And then Samuel said, what does this bleating of the sheep mean in my ears? And the spoil. And Saul says he blames other people. So there again, if you're going to blame other people and not take responsibility, that might also be an enemy, okay? And it doesn't necessarily mean everything that you do wrong gets you an enemy spirit. I don't want you to believe that every choice that you make wrong ensnares you with an enemy spirit. But some things that you agree with will get you ensnared with an enemy spirit. So Samuel is addressing Saul here, and he says, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? So, behold, it is better to obey than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So in other words, playing church, God wasn't interested in just the rituals and playing church. He wanted obedience, he wanted our heart, he wants us to pursue him with a whole heart, he wants us to dig in, to diligently search. But Saul was playing church. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and the words, because I feared the people. Wait a minute. This is a reality for all of us. We can get caught up with the fear of man. But the fear of man is a trap. That's what Scripture tells us. The fear of man is a trap. So we see that Saul still hadn't got over his inferiority. And I believe that a focus on self is pride. And he was proud when he hid in the stuff. And he was proud at the end of his life because he didn't humble himself and repent. He didn't agree with God. It sounds like he agreed with God. He says, I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn with me that I may worship the Lord. So he's actually not guilty before God. He's looking at the people. If you're only guilty before the church that you're going to, you're not fearing God. If you're afraid to do wrong because of the people that you're around, you're not fearing God. You're in trouble, actually. That's why it's important to diligently seek. If you're afraid to do something wrong because you believe there is a God and that there is a consequence, now you're in the right track. If you're just playing church, you're in trouble. Saul's playing church here. He says, pardon me. So it'd be like I'd go to, I don't know how to make this up. Go to your pastor, your main leader, and I screwed up, and so just pardon me so I can get up here and preach again. But I'm not dealing with my heart. I'm not saying that I sinned against the Lord. There is a difference, and I want you to seek that out. There is a difference between playing church and having a fear of the Lord, where you seek the Lord and you realize that you might deceive the people that you're around. But I want you to know you're not going to deceive God, and God is not mocked. Whatever you're going to sow, that's what you're going to reap. So if you put to practice the spiritual warfare, like if you look to God to be your deliverer, very simply, if you look to God to be your deliverer, you will have success. But if you're going to play church and look to the people about looking at them to have a good, see if you have a good rapport, you might just be in trouble. Saul wanted Samuel, he wanted to worship the Lord, he wanted to get on with the program, do all the religious things, get this worship to the Lord over. And Samuel turned, verse 27, and as Samuel, sorry, let's back up here. 25, pardon me and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Verse 26, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. And the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, Saul laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to thy neighbor, given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. In other words, what God said is true. He's not going to change his ways. In 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about us as people. I invite you to check that out sometime. The whole idea of losing your reward, but your soul being saved. Your works being burned up. So in other words, God is a rewarder. And we have rewards in heaven for our faithfulness. And that's different from just entering into the kingdom of God or entering into heaven. God is a rewarder. And for you as an individual, for your faithfulness to God, you're going to be rewarded. Saul could have repented here, but he didn't. I just want to let you know that wherever you are at, you can repent today. You can agree with God, and when you agree with God, that's called righteousness. I don't want to leave you without hope. I want you to know that you don't have to be left in utter dismay like Saul. But if you're going to find life, you have to agree with God. It's that simple. An agreement with the enemy is sin, and it will have consequences. And those consequences will lead you to death. An agreement with God is righteousness, and the consequences of righteousness is eternal life. You choose. Okay, just some scriptures if you want to do some research. Leviticus 19:31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. This is talking about witchcraft. Neither seek after wizards and be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. And the soul, Leviticus 26, and the soul that turneth after such that have familiar spirits and after wizards that go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and I will cut him off from among his people. Leviticus 20, 27, a man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall. This is Old Testament, and it's talking about being a witch or anything like that. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. Deuteronomy 18, 9 to 13. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire. So basically they were burning their children as an offering to their devils. Or useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. An observer of time would be basically fortune telling. I'm going to tell you what's coming. Remember, the enemy has access to some truth, but not full truth. So even some of the predictions that they have, predictions that the enemy has, don't get caught up with that. A charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits or a wizard or a necromancer. You can look up what those things mean. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Now you weren't listening to what I was reading. You were looking at those words up there. Some of you. You're wondering, what is he going to talk about? Music and movies. That caught you. You were looking at those words. You weren't even listening to what I said. All right. I just want you to know that some of the people that produce ungodly music and ungodly movies are witches. Okay? And if you view that content, I'm told this. I haven't been there to witness it. I'm told that they take rock music into satanic temples and assign spirits to them so that when the people listen to rock music, they get ensnared. Do you know why it's important? Why I'm telling you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? I'm telling you, you can be free. And if you know that you're ensnared by an enemy, then deal with it. Be real about it. That's not shameful. That's real. Okay? This life we're living is real. If the people producing movies and music are Satan worshipers and witches and whatever other names all fit in that category, and you listen to that music or watch those movies, you may get ensnared. And all I'm telling you is that if you know you are ensnared, I'm telling you today, you can find freedom by the Spirit of God that is in you. You may need to have someone help you pray. That's okay. Okay, you need to address that enemy and tell him to go. I forgot to put it in my notes. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But in this case, if you've been ensnared by an enemy spirit, you need to tell it to leave in the name of Jesus. Okay? The name of Jesus has power. The blood of Jesus has power. These enemy spirits do not like the blood of Jesus. They do not. They know the name of Jesus has power. I listened to rock music before I was born again. And after I'm born again, I'm driving down the road and I feel like playing some music. And so I turn music on and I turn rock music on. And this lyric plays that, and so some of the things, be careful with it. Just because it entices your flesh doesn't mean it's good. Usually not, actually. But anyway, it was familiar to me. And what do? But I sing along with the lyric. Do you know what the lyric was? It was ungodly. It said, highway to hell. And I'm singing, highway to hell. And immediately, I sensed death in my spirit. And I realized I can never, as a Christian, sing that song. Never. Because when I sing that song, I'm worshiping the enemy. Those are just examples. So repent. If you know, you can be free. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You need to fill yourself with good stuff. When the unclean spirit has gone out of man, he walketh through a dry place and seeketh rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter into and dwell therein. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So in other words, you need to fill yourself with good things. You need to fill yourself with godly things. You need to memorize Scripture. You need to meditate on Scripture. You need to immerse yourself in Scripture. This is David repented. He understood something in the spirit world even then. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Just throwing that in, that's kind of like something for you to chew on. Better it is to be an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Willis talked about the Queen of Sheba. And when the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels and that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. She had a lot of questions, and she was going to put this guy to test. She was going to check him out to see if he was what the people said he was. And when the queen and Solomon told her all her questions, there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. He just was open book. He was an open book. And she'd fire questions at him, hard questions, and he would answer them. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat at his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, what they were wearing, and his cupbearers, and his accent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Amazing. She was floored. She's like, I've never seen anything like this. There is no place on the earth like this. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. She said, oh, I was going to like put you to the test, but they didn't even tell me the half of it. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard, happy are the men and happy are these servants which stand continually before thee and that hear the wisdom. Blessed be thou, the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. So I want you to recognize that when we're doing things with God, there's prosperity. Not get rich quick. I didn't say get rich quick. There's prosperity. With God, a simple example is, I'm coming here this week and I get to stay at someone from your church. And that's a blessing. But if they were ungodly and heathen, they probably wouldn't want me at their house. That's just like a simple thing. But ministering to people and sharing a cup of cold water or whatever they need, even ungodly people that you will meet, you are sharing the gospel and the hope of Jesus Christ. Just check out what the New Testament says about the Queen of Sheba. She came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Who's it talking about? Jesus Christ. You have access to Jesus Christ. What are you going to do about it? You have the ability to make a difference in the world. What are you going to do about it? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he's for you and not against you? That he is here to deliver you? To help you? I just want you to ponder the difference that you can make. So basically, my point of bringing that in here is when you get ensnared with the enemy, people in rebellion and people in people that are not serving God, does it, when you go to their place, does it look like neat and kept up? And you may not necessarily know that, but or you might not have ever thought about this, that, but do you realize that there's a comparison? The enemy steals, kills, and destroys. So when you see utter destruction, you can follow that back. That's the fruit of something else going on. When you have utter destruction in your life, that's the fruit of something else going on. And it's your job to seek the Lord to find out what's going on. If you're experiencing robbery in your spiritual life, steal, kill, death in your spiritual life, or destruction in your spiritual life, it is your job to seek the Lord, because greater is he that is in you, and he's there to help you. I'm just going to stop there for today, and I just want you to ponder that. I just want you to seek, in all of this, just seek the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just...